Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am very grateful you chose to share this time with me on April 28, 2019. We're going to look at our goodness, the quality of being good, virtue. That is how it's defined, and we're going to take a look at our virtue and the goodness of our being, and I'm very, very grateful you're here. You know, people are always looking in different ways to see how they might help, usually in a way that does not involve too much money or kindness. I know that sounds terrible, but it is true. I find it very true in a lot of my work efforts and my community here in Monterey. It's very difficult for people to find their goodness and to activate it. They have to be convinced, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. Your goodness could be expressed through your contributions. It is only through your tax-deductible gifts, as you know, that this radio program exists and can even be here to serve humankind as it does. And I hope that if you are enjoying the radio program, that you will become a sponsor and help us sustain our program. A sponsor is a person who offers a donation either monthly or quarterly. These donations go to help pay for airtime of our radio, our TV programs, and all of the really programs that I do in the community of hospice work. And it needs your support. Believe me, it does. It's a very, very important service to be there for people, the families, as someone is leaving their body. It's extremely important, and I hope that you understand that. And one day you may need that service, and as you give, of course, you know what the old thing is. As you give, so shall you receive. So I hope that in the offerings that I give you here on radio, you find it in your heart to be generous and kind and become a sponsor. There are so many gifts you get for being a sponsor, a podcast, video cast, commentaries twice a month, your message of the month, which is sent to you, or you can download it each and every month, as well as access to over 122 discourses that I did for TV. They include everything, A Life Worth Living, Socrates' Insights, The Prophet from Cahil Gibran. There are many, many, and all of them are there to serve you, to help you, and to sustain your spiritual effort. Become a sponsor. Help us. This goodness thing, this is really hard for people. Very, very hard. They don't know the difference between basic goodness and that which they think of as right. And right and good are two different things. Sometimes right looks more appealing because it appeals to our ego, our vanity, our pride, our false sense of character. We love that. We get fixated on what we think is absolutely right, but that doesn't make it a part of our virtue. Goodness is virtue. And that kind of virtue, or the sustaining of virtue, is a very, very difficult thing for a lot of people. It is the highest sense of loving kindness in us. Virtue is that which comes from the heart, the essence of the heart, the beauty of the heart. And when one understands that, then one understands the meaning and the significance of what it is to be in a spiritual practice, where the only virtue there is that of love. But the problem is, love does not work well here on earth. It just doesn't. We are a warring people, as Jesus said. You know, there will always be wars and rumors of wars in this world. He was, of course, correct. And we tend to honor this kind of silliness, this kind of despair, this kind of ugliness. We do it through so many different ways, and we miss the meaning of our life because we're too busy trying to be right and make right good. And that just doesn't work. It just doesn't. And so the human being becomes very convoluted and goes into all of this confusion and complication, And usually that kind of thing brings about a great deal of pain and sorrow in the lives of many people. Our first question comes from Joy in Sacramento. She says, "You say we have goodness within us." She's referring to a TV program that I did. "Where is it? I don't see it in myself and in a lot of people as you describe it, Joy." Joy, I describe a lot of things that are very different. I try to help people as much as I can. I try to show them what goodness might be, and goodness is definitely connected to something called mercy. And mercy is something that most people do not have a great deal of. They don't even know what it is. You know what chocolate is. You know what money is. You know what politics are. But you don't know mercy. And it's considered a weakness in most people, believe it or not. And that's a very sad thing to think of it as weakness. But that's where we go with it. So what can I say to you? What really can I say? Mercy is the state of being where you find within yourself that which sustains the heart. It often goes against what is right, what we think of as worldly right, that is. And it is very, very difficult for people to understand. You have to yield to mercy, yield to the goodness of your heart. So let's start off answering this question with the basic premise. Your goodness comes from your authentic spiritual heart, not the human heart, which is based in confusion and doubt. It's based in complications of DNA and genetics. No, the spiritual heart answers only to love and is a reflection of not only our love, but leads us to the state of the soul, which is extremely important. I can't say enough about that. When you meditate, when you are working upon yourself, when you are truly working upon yourself, you begin to find inside a sense of goodness. This goodness isn't something the mind can recognize as, oh, that has an advantage to it. Oh, that is something that will help me. That's the way we think of goodness. But in the deepest part of us, this goodness cannot be defined. This goodness is a state of being of the heart. It is the state of the soul. You start to realize that this goodness elevates you into consciousness. You start to realize what consciousness is. It can't be described for the human mind. It is a principle of living in the throes of life. Jesus said, Joy, that he had many things he would like to tell us, but could not, because our hearts could not bear it. It's because we live from the human heart and we live from the attachment to the human body. The reason we do not understand, generally speaking, the spiritual heart is because we are connected to the idea and the ideals of the human body and what advances the human body into comfort and pleasure. And because I do that, because that becomes the main premise of, let's say, a human being's life, a mortal human being's life, we make it very difficult for there to be any kind of change in us. We remain insecure and living by the logic and reasoning of our mind, our body, always looking for an advantage rather than yielding to love. How much would you sacrifice for the sake of love itself? That is the real question. So you say to me, Greg, you say we have goodness within us. Where is it? It lies in the heart. You cultivate the heart through meditation. You cultivate the heart through the way you live your life. Your lifestyle has to be that of cultivating the heart and sustaining it with virtue, compassion, but above all, mercy. There is nothing more important in this lifetime than achieving that of the merciful. Nothing, nothing is more important. I don't care what you do. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you think, say, or have or not have. Nothing, nothing is more important than the achievement of the goodness that comes out of mercy. Blessed are the merciful, Jesus said in the Beatitudes, for they shall obtain mercy. For all of the crazy stuff that you and I have done in this lifetime, our spiritual mischief, don't you think we've been given a great mercy? We live, we breathe, we have access to all of the things that are nature, all the things that are beautiful. Don't you think that there's a very big part of us that should be extremely grateful and living in the wonder of the wonderness as it is, of what it is to be living on this planet based in the unkindness, the predatory ideals we have about right and wrong and good and bad and all of that? I think it's amazing I'm here on the planet. I think it's amazing that I am given the things I am given, service to you right now. I'm given this opportunity by the hand of the heart inside. You're given many things from the hand of the heart within you. You may not acknowledge it. You may not see it. You may not recognize it. You may not believe it, but it is all there. Trust me, it is all there. And if you don't trust me and you don't believe it, you have a very difficult road to haul in this world for that which has been given to you in love. This is all about love. Joy, I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question from Arnold. Arnold in Texas. I don't feel goodness at all, ever. Why? Harold, this is a very tricky question based on the idea that I don't know you at all, you know. But if you're like the rest of us human beings, it's because A, you're selfish. B, you are heavily induced by gratification. And C, you don't care. You're indifferent. Most of us are rendered indifferent in this world to our spiritual heart, to love, to our own sense of goodness, because we have the idea that we should have this and that, and they shouldn't have this or that, or they don't deserve to have this or that. We have all sorts of ideas and ideals about what should and should not be. And we make these ideals very important to our ego, our pride, our vanity, everything. We make it so very, very important. So we miss our own goodness. When I betray my goodness with self-righteousness, with gratification, when I become totally indifferent to the higher laws of life because I'm stuck in the idea of my body and trying to live from it and for it and function in it and make it be the absolute deliverer, the process of delivering to itself only those things that pleasure it, then I miss exactly what it is that I'm here for and what I'm doing in this world. That we miss it entirely. We miss our goodness because we are not silent and still inside. We cannot hear that still small voice. And for the most part, human beings as a whole are not much interested in anything that is virtuous because they believe it takes away from them. Well, it's not fair. That's not right. That's what I hear all the time. It's not fair. It's not right. Why? Why do we take on these thoughts, these beliefs, these attitudes? Why? I've had a slew of people come into my life and leave my life one way or another because they all thought they were coming in for rightness and leaving for rightness. But really, what people came for was in search of their own happiness. And happiness undermines our goodness. True happiness, true happiness comes from a state of consciousness that is achieved through love, that is achieved through meditation. That is true happiness. What we call happiness, generally speaking, is gratification. Things that appease our emotionality, our genetic nature, and make us believe that, well, whatever we're doing is right because it feels good. We like to feel good. Well, when I live my life in feeling good, I become very, very despondent towards the idea of doing that which is selfless. I don't want to be selfless. I don't want to do kindness. I am not interested in mercy. I am only interested in having life go my way. And as long as this perpetuates itself through indifference, spiritual indifference, I have a real problem in my life that causes me to feel, oh, that I'm right. I would say most people would rather be right than to be loved and to have love. That right is very big for people. Self-righteousness is the most important thing in most people's lives. They want to be adorated for whatever it is they do. And if you can seduce them into believing that they're perfectly fine and right people, then you start to really realize how deep this wound goes in wanting righteousness over love. We miss our entire life. We miss what this is really all about, this thing called life and love. What do you think you're here for? Arnold, what do you think you're really here for? Do you think you're here, you've been plopped here as a biological being, the result of your mother and father's state of passion through intercourse? Do you think that's why you're here? And all of a sudden, out of luck or chance or whatever, you pop up and there you are. And now you're going forth into this world trying to live your life in accordance with what? What do you think makes your life? What do you think is important about your life? Why do you feel like you're here? This is a really important question. And most people can't answer it. They won't answer it because they're so busy trying to get what they want in their life and make their life the way they want it to be. They have not learned the patience, the mercy, the kindness to follow life wherever it takes them. And when I follow life rather than take my life, when I am willing to listen to the state of my being and enter into the soul, that is when life becomes extremely beautiful. You live in a great beauty in this lifetime, a beauty of goodness, of mercy, of truth. And if you can tailor your life through simplicity, solitude, and silence, as I say, you will find that whatever it is that you are doing in your life, mercy and compassion are the most important things. And they will help you understand the nature of what it means to live in a kindness that exceeds human logic and realizations. Realizations that the human being has are generally pretty shallow. They're really rationalizations and not realizations. And we miss. We all miss when we do that. Watch how your mind works. Arnold, watch how your mind works. See how it comes to a conclusion. Just watch it. Watch it start something and then move to a conclusion. And how did you arrive at that conclusion? You will find it's a basic assumption. And in that assumption, where is the goodness? Do you assume good? Do you assume bad? Do you assume right? Do you assume wrong? How do you come to any conclusion you come to? When you and I are no longer interested in those conclusions and those assumptions and those beliefs, that's when something of the other shore can really happen, something beautiful. And you come into the energetics of your life, the spiritual energetics that live inside your authentic heart. You can't make people interested in the authenticity of the heart. Believe me, I've tried. And I have come to the point where I really do realize this can't be done. Just cannot be done. It is not something that people aspire to, if I may use that term. Forgive me, Greg. But that is the truth. So most people just slug it out, hoping to find some kind of meaning in their life. You have goodness in you, Arnold. I don't think you can find it through your psyche, your psychology, your beliefs. You can't do that. You have to delve deep inside into the heart. You have to see life for what it is and your life for how you've lived it. You have to see the bigger picture, putting aside all the things that you think make up an Arnold. And if you can do that, much can happen. I hope that helps you. I'm sure it sounded like gibbery juice. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Nancy, and she does not tell me where she lives. Is goodness our soul? I'm confused. I thought everyone had a soul, Nancy. No, we all have access to the soul, but it is only through the participation of our goodness, our mercy, our compassion that we reach the soul. You have the capacity for attaining to the soul. Goodness, well, it depends on what you call goodness. What is goodness to Nancy? Is it something that she gets that is emotionally a warm and fuzzy thing that makes her feel like, oh, she's done something wonderful or something wonderful has happened to her? What is your goodness? What do you call being good? That is the question. That is the authentic. I know people who are so full of hate and fear, self-righteous hate, and fear of their own self-righteousness without them knowing it. They cannot even imagine having a sense of goodness at all within themselves. I know many people like that. So what can I say? What can I do? What can I offer you? When your mind is turned off to that which is predicated in a spiritual world that we are either unavailable for or indifferent to or both, we suffer grievously for the things that happen to us that hurt us. I cannot make you understand the significance, the gravitas of all of that. I can't do that. That's not in my power. That's not in anybody's power. You have to eventually come, Nancy, to a place where you see the futility of your worldly life. It is just not working out. It is just not bringing you to any place but assumption and conclusions and cul-de-sacs mentally and emotionally. You have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. And until that happens, all you and I are doing is going around and around and around in our desire, ambition, and pride, and futility, and ambition, and pride, and futility, around and around and around and around. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. And that's the way we live our life. We have no generosity. We have no loving kindness. We have no interest in anything other than what pleasures the body and makes the mind feel like it's doing self-righteous stuff that it likes to believe makes it better than or more moral than or whatever. Nancy, don't waste your life on the foolish, on the silly, on the absolutely absurd. Don't do that. Live consciously. Live in meditation. Live as meditation. Live directly into the heart, from the heart to the heart. Live seeking the heart of other people. Talk to people as though they have the goodness of the heart, because they do. And even though they're ugly at times and do not really recognize this goodness, do it anyway, because you can, because it helps humanity. And I'm out of here. Nancy, please forgive me, won't you? Namaste. Well, I hope all of this helped you this weekend. I certainly put something on your plate, and I hope it serves you well. Have a beautiful weekend. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.